We return to our Summer of Love sermon series. From a very young age, we have been conditioned to fairy tale kind of love stories. We all grew up hearing about valiant knights who rescued the princess. They fall in love and they live what? Happily ever after. And even as adults, we enjoy love stories like the romantic movies where high school friends reunite and fall in love and they live happily ever after. Or maybe you've watched that TV series for many years and the two lead characters banter back and forth season after season and you just wonder, will they ever get together? And finally, in that last season, in that last episode, they have the big happy ending where they get married. And sometimes in real life, we get to experience the magic of love. Remember when you thought you were in love for the first time? That incredible high that you felt? You thought that feeling would last forever. And when you were a teenager, a couple weeks was a forever. How about the love you felt when you held your newborn for the first time? When you looked at that precious little face and you knew that you were instantly in love. But we learned a few weeks ago that sometimes love hurts. And we often learn that there is rarely a happily ever after. Romantic love falls apart when reality hits, doesn't it? According to the 2018 Census Bureau data, around 46% of marriages end in divorce. And we all know that that cute, cuddly bundle of joy that we fell in love with can really grow up and challenge us, can't they? And while we still love them, they're no longer precious and that magic feeling is long gone. But we want those magical moments to last forever. We want love to be happily ever after. But let's face it, relationships are hard. So why does it seem that happily ever after is just a fairy tale? Why does it seem that love is so fragile? Too many of us have accepted the fact that we cannot experience real love because of real life. We've accepted that life is just life. And we're just along for the ride. After all, people are people. Nobody is perfect. We all get tired. We all get grumpy. And when you live with someone, it doesn't take long for you to find out that everyone has bad habits, except Carla. In our lives, work can wear on us. The kids can wear on us. Health issues can wear on us. And we have just learned to tolerate some people longer than others. So the question is, can we really experience real love? And if so, how can we make love last? And in order to answer that question, we must first step back to week one of our sermon series. In the English language, we use the word love to mean many things. In week one, we learned that the Greek language had four different words for love. First was eros. This is the type of love that includes a passion or infatuation or romantic love. There is storge. This type of love refers to the natural affection between a parent and a child. Then there's philia. This type of love refers to the intimacy that good friends share. And the last type of love in Greek is called agape. This is sacrificial love, a commitment that motivates us to deny ourselves on behalf of another. Agape is an all-in kind of love, the kind of love where we would do anything for a person we loved. And this agape love starts with God. God is the source of love and the only true form of love. The other three types of love can leave us empty and unfulfilled unless they are rooted in God's agape love. When God becomes the foundation of love, it changes not only how we love God, but it changes how we love others. And one of my favorite verses, and I've shared it many times, comes from Ephesians chapter 3. And Paul writes, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And so I ask you, do you know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ? I think too many of us have taken this for granted. I mean, after all, we've all heard John 3:16 so many times that it has lost its meaning. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And there are many other verses that tells us the same thing. In 1 John 3, we see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Romans 5 says this, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Peter 3 says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. See, we are God's creation. And of all of God's creatures, we are the only part of his creation created in his image. God loves us. We are special to him. And because of sin, we are separated from God. We are still loved by God, always loved by God. But the problem is that the sin becomes a barrier to that relationship that God wants to have with us. And God loves us so much. God so desired to repair that relationship that he was willing to make a great sacrifice for that love. Now, the concept of the Trinity is hard. To think of one God as three persons. We have God the Father and Creator. We have God as the Son. And we have God as the Holy Spirit. All one, yet still three. And Hebrews 1:3 describes Jesus like this. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. God loved us so much that he wanted it to make it possible to restore this relationship. And so he did it so much, he wanted it so much that he was willing to send his Son, his exact representation. Or you could say that he sent a part of himself to come and suffer death, so that by his death and resurrection, Jesus could be the means that we could have a relationship with God the Father. This is how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ. We have to understand that Christ was willing to sacrifice everything for us. He set the ultimate example of love by dying for our sins. He left heaven, became lower than angels, became one of us, suffered and faced death, taking on all of our sins, not his sins, our sins. And by this example of his love and dying for our sins, we get the true definition of agape love. And when we get this part, when we understand what a sacrifice, how far God went for us, when we see how much God loves us, then it changes everything about us. It changes how we live. It changes how we love. And we see that real love requires sacrifice. And love cannot be one-sided. One-sided relationships fail. When we become consumers of love, eventually that love fails. God's love is always there. But if we want to experience that love, if we want to maximize our relationship, then we must return that love through sacrifice. Have you ever been in a one-sided relationship? If you haven't been in one, it's not fun. You probably at least have seen them. A one-sided relationship is unhealthy. You see, one person loves the other person, and they give, and they give, and they give, and they give. And even when the other person doesn't give back, or worse, takes advantage of that relationship, the giver keeps giving anyways. This is an unhealthy relationship because it's not a reciprocal love. And eventually, the giver gets run down, and the taker, well, the taker just moves on to the next one. The taker doesn't love that person. They love themselves, and they love the attention that the giver is giving them. If we really want to love somebody back, then we have to make sacrifices for them. We learned in week one that we are first to love God with our all. And in order to love with our all, we must make sacrifices. In Luke 9, Jesus said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." In Romans 12, Paul writes, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Paul continues, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." If we love God, then we have to make sacrifices. We must humble ourselves and submit to his authority. And when we get this right, I can tell you it will change your life. You will see and experience things differently, and you will be blessed. And when we see how God sacrificed for us and how we abide in God's love by sacrificing for him, we quickly learn that this is the model that works for our earthly relationships. John chapter 15, Jesus teaches his disciples. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know the master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you." So Jesus is saying it's not about being somebody's servant. It's about loving the way Jesus loved us. A willingness to sacrifice for each other. And this is a model for all of our relationships. Relationships go sour because of selfishness. We need to be in healthy relationships where people are working to serve each other. And I've seen people misuse scriptures in their relationships. I grew up in a congregation that was definitely patriarchal in their teachings. And many men love to push the verse in Ephesians 5:22 that says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord." Now, I know for many strong women, that verse really agitates you. And for some men, this verse has become a power trip. But what most people do not see is that in the verse ahead of it, it says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Husbands who love their wives must also submit, because on down in verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." You see, this is an example of agape love. This is not about being subservient to anyone. This is about love. Now think about this. If I'm always willing to sacrifice myself to lift up my wife and meet her needs, and if my wife is always willing to sacrifice herself to lift up me and meet my needs, then as we lift each other up, our relationship becomes stronger. So do you see how that works? We both sacrifice. We both stop looking for our own selfish needs. We both work to meet the other's needs. And then we see that in the end, we're both happy because both of our needs are met. I'm not trying to meet my needs because she's meeting them. And she doesn't have to try to meet her needs because I'm meeting them. Now, there are times when the relationship is 50-50. And there are times that you go through struggles in life where it swings way to one side and one person is carrying the other, and times where it swings back the other way. But in the end, if we keep working to love and support each other, the love balances and the love grows and the love spreads. And it's not just for marital relationships. It works for all of our relationships. If I, as your pastor or friend, works hard to help you, help meet your needs, and if you, as a church or my friends, work to meet my needs, then our love will flourish and we will grow together. And if we teach our kids and grandkids to live this way, teach them that love is based first in God and then with others, where they learn to serve God first, and then they learn to serve us as we serve them. And then they begin to understand what agape love is. Then they learn how to build healthy relationships. And as they go out on their own, they will choose spouses and friends and people that share that same kind of agape love. The key to all relationships is sacrifice. And I'll close with these words of Paul. "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, so many times we are a selfish people and we are worried about our needs and what do I want and what do I need. But Lord, allow us to first submit ourselves to you. Let us acknowledge what your Son Jesus Christ did for us on that cross. Let us see the freedom that we have from sin. Let us experience your abounding love and your grace and your mercy. And Lord, because of your love, let it change how we love and serve other people. Not because we are any less than them, but because of your love for us and the way you loved us, you commanded us to love others. So much so that we would be willing to deny what we want for their needs. that we would be willing to submit ourselves to support and to love them. And when we love people the way you loved us and teach them to love the way you loved, then they will love us in return in the way that your Son loved us. And when we find that, we find real love, powerful love, meaningful love. And through your promises, we know that it is a love that will truly be happily ever after. Lord, we thank you for your Son and his love. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. If your relationship with God is broken, his love is still there. And that love can be repaired. But we have to be willing to submit ourselves to God to repair that relationship, to grow that relationship, and to fully experience God's love. And if you have a broken relationship with somebody else, then we need to follow the example of Christ. Because it's through Christ's love that those relationships can be restored. Sacrifice yourself, pray for those people, and be willing and open for those relationships to be restored. And if you're in a healthy relationship now, use this model to keep it going. From the words of Paul, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Go now and live in the love of Jesus Christ. May you know how high and how deep and how wide his love is for you. Go now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of his Holy Spirit. Amen.